In Matthew chapter number 26, the Bible says that after the Passover, last week we were at the Passover, the Last Supper. Last week we were in the upper room, and as we looked at that last week, we remembered there was a lesson learned that night, several lessons that he taught them. He taught them a lesson of love. You remember last week, the Bible said that he loved them to the end. And he taught them a lesson of love. The last night of his life, he desired to have a meal with them, to spend it with his disciples whom he loved. Then he taught them a lesson of life as he got up from the table and he girded himself and took a towel and he went around the table and he washed the disciples' feet. Even washed the feet of Judas Iscariot, the one that would betray him. That night, he showed them and taught them a lesson of life, a lesson of absolution, which we remember the word means forgiveness, a lesson of attitude, to that the master is not greater than the servant, and he, being their master, got up and served them, and then a lesson in action that night as he showed them that real happiness comes, real fulfillment comes when you and I serve one another. So we have a lesson of love, a lesson of life, but lastly he told them a lesson, taught them a lesson of the Lamb. It was a Passover. And so they were celebrating what had happened in Exodus chapter number 12. They were celebrating that Passover lamb, the foreshadowing of Exodus chapter number 12, has now become the image. He is standing before them as their Passover lamb. And he showed them as he shared supper with them that night that his body would be broken for them. And he showed them that his blood would be shed for them. But that blood being shed would become a new testament, a new covenant, if you will. The old covenant would be passed away, and this now new covenant was not written on tables of stone, but it was written on their hearts. As he moves out of there, the Bible says in one place that they left out of there and they sang a hymn. They left from the upper room. They journeyed through Jerusalem. And as they came through Jerusalem, they came to the eastern gate, passed through the eastern gate, and walked down through the valley of Kidron, the Kidron Valley. Just those of you that were just there with me, you know exactly what this valley looks like. But this is on the eastern side of Jerusalem, on the western bank, where the western bank of the Mount of Olives. And the eastern side of Jerusalem, there is a valley, there is a brook that runs through it that is called the Kidron Valley. This is where a lot of the waste and different things from the city would come down. This is also the place where from the mount or the Temple Mount that the blood of the lambs that were slaughtered would run down into this valley, into this brook. And as Jesus passed out of Jerusalem and through this brook, he went to a place, a garden, the Bible says in John chapter number 18. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 18, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron or Kidron, where was a garden, into which he entered and his disciples. The Bible says, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. In Matthew 26, the Bible tells us in verse number 36, then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. I want you to notice first off as we look at this morning, and we started off at the place of sorrow. As he leaves the upper room and he crosses the Kidron Valley onto the Mount of Olives, where the Bible says there was a garden. Matthew lets us know that this garden is called Gethsemane. But I would like to start off in the first garden. I'd like to, just for a moment, take us all the way back and show us the place of sorrow. But we got to start with the first garden. As we look at the first garden, the Garden of Eden, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter number 2 and in verse number 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. God made a garden. He prepared a garden, and he placed Adam in that garden, the first Adam. The word Eden means pleasure. This garden was a pleasurable place. It was a desired place. This garden was a perfect place. It was a perfect environment. Matter of fact, everything that Adam needed to sustain life was right there. He never had to go beyond the garden. Everything that he had was there at his fingertips. He had dominion over all things, and it was all given to him right there in the garden. But God gave him instructions and told him, of every tree that's in the garden you can eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, in the day that you eat of thereof, you will surely, everybody say it with me. Of course, we know the first Adam had a perfect beginning, a sinless beginning. But he has a life that was marred in disobedience. We know the story, and we know the one tree in the garden that he was told he could not eat from, Adam chose to partake of. Willfully disobeyed God. So a life that was marred by disobedience brought us death. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible tells us that because of Adam's sin in that first garden, death came upon all men. A life that was known by disobedience, a life that produced death, a life that produced despair. God removed Adam from that garden, and a curse was placed on the land. Thorns and thistles and bugs, mosquitoes. I need somebody to help me. I'm about sure mosquitoes was a part of the curse. Amen. This first garden, sin. This first garden, man was plunged into sin. This second garden this morning, this Garden of Gethsemane, this is where it all began. The redemption of man began in this garden. As Jesus brought his disciples into this garden, the garden, the word Gethsemane means an oil press. It was a place where there was a garden, by John's account, there was a garden there. So, in other words, it was a cultivated place. It was there for the purpose of producing olives. And so there was an oil or an olive oil press there. A big stone vat with a stone mill that would run around and crush those olives. Crush the oil out of it. Gethsemane was a place of crushing. And as our Savior, the last Adam, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And so Paul refers to Jesus as the last Adam. The first Adam brought man into sin. The last Adam, amen, he come to get man out. Can I get a witness? He lived a life of obedience. His life gives life. His life produces joy rather than despair. But his life was a life of sorrows. The Bible says he has despised and rejected a man of sorrows. I want you to know he sorrowed when he left the throne and came to earth to become man. He sorrowed when he walked in a wicked and perverse world that he created. He sorrowed as a rejected Messiah, and he ultimately sorrowed as a sacrificial lamb. I wonder if the psalmist didn't have some insight. I wonder if Jesus, as he prayed in the garden, Psalm 6 maybe, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance in thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groanings all the night. Make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Tonight, or today, as we enter into this night, understand that our Savior was in a place of sorrow as his spirit grieved. This, the next day, he would hang on a cross. The next day, the physical assault on his body would take place. But tonight, in the garden, he fought a battle that was spiritual. And the same tempter that was in that first garden, I believe he was in the second one. I believe every demon in hell was in this second garden. Because this second garden was necessary. This spiritual battle was necessary. Adam said, not your will, but mine be done, as he disobeyed God. But this last Adam said, not my will, but thine be done. You watch with the knowledge that this night was a spiritual battle for Christ. The sufferings started long before the cross.
Jesus climbed the hill to the garden still. His steps were heavy and slow. Love and a prayer took him there to the place only he could go. Gethsemane, Jesus loves me. Gethsemane. Jesus loves me, so he gave his gift to me. In Gethsemane,
Jesus took his disciples, 11 of them. 8 he left at the entrance of the garden. 3 he took farther. Peter, James, and John. The Bible says that he left them and went even further. We see the place of sorrow. But today, I want you to see the pain of sin. To understand the pain of sin, you must first understand who he is. This was the Son of God. This was God himself in the flesh. A life that he had lived that was without sin, without blemish, without spot. As he was in this garden, this second garden, this garden, if you will, of redemption, as he was in this garden, the crushing of his spirit, not because of what was to come, not because of the cross and the crucifixion, but because he would become sin. You can't understand Gethsemane if you do not understand who Jesus is. For you and I, sin is something that is tolerated. Sin is something that we don't want to do, but we can't help ourselves. That's what we convince ourselves. But this was God. Though he was on earth and though he was a man, listen, he was holy. Without sin, had never sinned. Not like Adam, not like you and I. This was the precious, pure Lamb of God. And in Gethsemane, he was faced with the reality, not of the crucifixion. He knew that long before this night. He was faced with the reality of sin. The Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. As he battled this night alone, he battled the pain of sin. He knew his purpose. He had already told his disciples his purpose. They knew his power. The one that had walked on the water, the one that had called Lazarus out of the tomb, the one that had healed many, raised people from the dead, was now powerless to his purpose. His pain was that night he would become sin. All the sin. Every sin that you ever did. Every sin that I've ever done. Every sin that this world has ever committed. Every murder. Every rape. Every act of adultery. Every act of idolatry. Anything you, as ugly as you can make it. That night, it became a reality on his sinless life. The people that was with him during his darkest hour, during the biggest spiritual battle that's ever been fought on this earth, were asleep, abandoning, left him. The Bible tells us he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yes, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, the punishment so that you and I could have peace, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. In other words, sin was such a contradiction to his holiness. This was the battle that was fought in Gethsemane. Many of you have gone through physical pain. Many of you have gone through spiritual pain. And you'll know this. What happens on the outside of the body just hurts for a short time. But what happens in here? Many of us has carried our entire lives. This battle wasn't a physical battle. This battle was spiritual tonight. The place of sorrow, Gethsemane. But I want you to see the pain of sin.
There's a place of quiet stillness between the light and shadows reach, where the hurting and the hopeless seek everlasting peace. Words of men whisper comfort, bittersweet.
But a prayer of submission. The Bible said, cried to his father, if it be possible. One commentator said that this was the moment that he was being tempted to walk away from it all. To let man receive what he deserved. Not once did he pray, but three times. He prayed the same prayer. If it be possible, let this cup If it be possible, Dad, if it be possible, Daddy, let this cup pass from me. If there's another way to redeem man, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, let thine be done. Adam got us into this mess because he chose his will over God. I need somebody to help me. Most of the messes you and I are in, most of the messes you and I have faced throughout our life has been because we decided to do our will rather than his. You discouraged. You feel abandoned. Has your life been a life of disappointment? I wonder how many disappointments, how many failures we could have avoided. If our life was a life of submission. Not my will, but thine be done. In his darkest hour, his greatest battle, he turned to the Father and prayed. But it was a prayer of submission. The Bible says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was on all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This morning, I wonder if you'd bow with me in prayer. This morning, I wonder if you'd reevaluate your life. I wonder this morning if you'd be honest. Say, preacher, most of my life has been spent doing my will, doing things the way I want to do them. Not his will, but mine. With heads bowed with me this morning, I wonder how many Christians are reevaluating your life. Maybe you'd like to join me down here at the altar in a prayer of submission. Maybe you'd like to find a place around the altar and say, God, not my will, but thine be done. Maybe you'd like to spend some time with him. Say, God, I ain't been who I need to be. I've chosen myself over you a many a day. I've let you down. Done my will, not yours. Wonder if there's anybody in there this morning that say, preacher, maybe you're on the altar, maybe in your seat, nobody's looking around. You say, preacher, there's never been a time where I've submitted to him. Preacher, there's never been a time that I've been saved. If I died right now, preacher, I do not know where I'd spend eternity. If that's you and you'd be honest with me this morning, I want you to just lift your hand up right where you're at. Nobody's looking. I just want to know how to end the service. Preacher, pray for me. I do not know that I'm saved. If that's you this morning, just lift your hand right up. Is there anybody like that? I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else, be honest with the preacher this morning. This morning, I need you to understand something, everybody in this building. Only way your life is going to go up. If yourself goes down, the church needs to get back on her face and submit to God's will, not ours. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we continue in prayer, God, we thank you, Lord, for the Garden of Gethsemane. That place of sorrow, that agony, that anguish, God, that you went through as you were attacked, as you were tempted. It's the pain and the reality of sin. The reality, Lord, that you would become that which was a contradiction to who you were. Holy, righteous, pure. God, it was my sin that was placed on you. Lord, it was our sin that you carried. It was our punishment, Lord, that you endured. God, the least we can do would be submissive to you. Lord, for the one that lifted their hand today, God, I pray today, Lord, that they would submit and be saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you raise your hand and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If you'll let us, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I wonder if you get up out of your seat, come to where I'm at. Let me help you this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you once again. God, you've been so good to us. Lord, I pray we leave out of here this morning, Lord, with you on our heart and on our mind, the grief, the sorrow that you endured that night in the garden for us. God, may we see that the worst suffering took place in a garden long before the cross. A victory won over death, over hell, over sin. In the garden, as you submitted to the will of the Father on our behalf. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.